Hey there, this is Steve Fisher from BeerCast Brew, and this week is the first of our trips on the road for BeerCast Brew. We promised to bring you some road trips in 2006, and this is the first week of them. We found ourselves down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We went to the Hog House Brewing Company, and there we spoke with Chris Milam, who is their brewmeister. He is the man in charge of all the beer at that fine establishment. So we caught up with Chris on a Friday afternoon before things got really busy for the weekend. As always, our show is brought to you by the fine folks over at All About Beer. You can check them out over at allaboutbeer.com. And we welcome your feedback. We have a phone-in line, and that number is 206-333-0223. So give us a call and let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what you'd like to hear more of. And if you have a place that we're going to be near, then we'll absolutely try and make it over to you. So here we are on the road in 2006. Hope you enjoy the interview with Chris, and we'll see you next go-around. Well, good afternoon. We're with Chris Milam here at the Hog House Brewing Company, and Chris is the brewmeister, as it were, here in Fayetteville, which is up in northwest Arkansas. So Chris, welcome to our show this afternoon, and I wanted to start by just asking you a little bit about the current lineup here and what the brews are that you have going, what the ones are on tap, and what's coming down the pike here in the next week or two.
Absolutely. We have several beers on tap right now. There's a handful. There's always, you know, between six and eight. And our star sellers are Woodstock Wheat. It's made with a Trappist yeast, so it's a little special. There are very few Trappist yeasts in the world, and we have one of the six. So it's a very unique flavor. That's actually, and we
tell me had, a little bit about the Trappist yeast.
We've had several brewers actually from Adam Avery from Avery Brewing Company in Colorado. He actually came in and really liked our wheat beer that we were making. But that yeast back in the day, like 500 years ago.
Right.
If you were traveling across Europe, you wouldn't really have a Hilton hotel to go stay in. So you would stay at a monastery, and some of those monasteries just happened to brew beer, and the yeast that they would use, the Trappist yeast. And I think there were pretty much six prevalent Trappist yeast or Trappist breweries that would use the Trappist yeast. And we managed to get our hands on one of them, and that's what we're using. The very nice flavors are coming from that yeast in the beer. It's excellent beer, actually. If we ever wanted to, versatile, I should say. If we ever wanted to, you know, make a barley wine or any sort of Belgian beer, the clove flavor that would come out of that would be very pleasant. What else do we make? We have the Ruby Red. I would say would be the next big seller. Now that's just an American amber, a nice red color, nice red hue to it, nice hint of the Kent hops that we use. Very well balanced. We make a Curly Tail, which is a very light ale. It's very refreshing on the hot summer days, but not too hot right now. But
being in the middle of February,
nonetheless, it is still a great beer to drink. We also have we have we have the Pale Ale, which is what we call the Pale Rider. It's a pale ale. It's an English style pale ale. We sort of went away from the American South, but play along with the English. A little more malty character to it, not quite the hop head as a huge Cascade hop addition at the very end, which would be very pleasant and tasty, but is more typical in the American pale ale. We have a Piper Pilsner, which is a European lager. Got that nice malty character to it, low sulfur notes, very very pleasant Pilsner. It didn't go over as it tastes great, but it's an acquired taste, I think, amongst lager drinkers. And dealing here in northwest Arkansas, it was a hard pitch, but it did take on. We do have some faithful followers here who actually drink it, but they actually it went a little slower, but picked up. In October, November, and then sort of slowed down during December and January, and we'll come back out with it probably April, April, May. Weather starts to warm up, and people are looking for a nice lager beer. What else do we make? Coming in the pipeline, we got some very interesting works. We have an ESB, Coming down the pipeline, we have the ESB beer. It's an extra special bitter. Of course, it's an English style beer, and it wouldn't be an ESB without our Fogel hops. So we're definitely going to throw in a whole bunch of that Fogel hop to give it that nice aroma that's unique to those to a nice ESB. We have an IPA that should come up next week, actually. That would be the next item coming up. Very, very tasty IPA. That's our first IPA that I think the Hog House has had. It's definitely the first since I've been here, but the former brewer might have made one, but I'm not aware of it. So,
Let me ask you, let me carry on the conversation a little bit just by inquiring a little bit about your history. Where did you learn to brew? Where are you from? Are you from around here? And did you learn to brew around here? Or tell me what the seeds are of your brewing history, if you would.
Absolutely. The roots of me. It all started in Oklahoma. That's where I was born and raised. And then I went to Texas and Dallas, went to school at SMU. And I took some science there, but I ended up getting a master's degree in accounting. Sort of went away from the science route. And it was always, that little itch. I couldn't give it up, and I worked as a CPA for a while. I actually passed and did all that, and I spent more time, I think, drinking after work and wishing I was making beer than and actually wanting to do accounting work. So I decided to go back to school, and I went to the university, or I studied with the University of California, Davis, and got my basics out of the way, my foundation certificate for brewing, and pretty much learned everything that goes on in a brewery on a large scale. From bird's eye view, and then took a course with the American Brewers Guild, and that actually gave me a hands-on craft brewers experience of brewing, and really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. Without my science background, it would have been very, very difficult, but the chemistry and biology would have just gone right over my head, but they did a very good job of explaining it and learning, and we actually several brewers that all the time you hear, oh yeah, I went to your school, you're meeting alum, and it's kind of cool. Yeah. So that was my brewing experience. I came here, it's been about almost a year that I've been brewing here.
Straight out from that experience?
Well, actually, I worked at Otter Creek Brewing Company as an apprentice, and there it was great. We brewed five times a day, it was 30,000 barrels a year, it was huge, massive scale brewing in terms of micro brewing. It's actually a regional brewery. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. And just, it's so cold in Vermont. I said it was cold here and it's February, but I prefer the warmth. So I migrated south and I've enjoyed it here. I was lucky, I have family in the area, and they actually found out about the opening here. And I said, hey, I'm up north, I want to come warm up. They said, we'll have you. So that's how I ended up here.
Well, very good.
Well, let me carry on in terms of asking you. You mentioned quantity from the Otter Creek folks. Tell me a little bit about that quantity and then stepping into this role and the quantity you're doing here. Also, I understood from talking to one of your coworkers here last night that you guys are getting your product out into the marketplace. I don't think you've gone the route of bottling and canning yet, but you are getting kegs sold to the various restaurants around. So talk to me a little bit about your approach to the quantity here and how you might vary your product in getting it out to the market.
Excellent. Well, coming from Otter Creek, we had, like I had mentioned earlier, 30,000 barrels a year was the sales volume, which is a lot, especially when you move into the brew pub environment and you're making maybe 500 barrels a year. Right now, I think we're sitting at 450. For the last year, but as things pick up, I'm sure we'll have an ongoing basis year after year of approximately 500 to 600 barrels. I'm the only brewer here at Otter Creek. There were some 30 to 50 employees, so there's a lot of work to go around at Otter Creek, and here it all goes to me. So I do everything from unloading the malt truck to plating bacteria to making the beer to testing my yeast. So that I think is the biggest benefit, just from experience wise, of being able to do everything and to learn everything all at once. Luckily, my schooling, as I mentioned earlier, it actually prepared me to be able to do that. So I'm very comfortable in this environment, just coming from a place that was so large with just the brewing responsibility and now with the whole brewery responsibility. Actually, then a very exciting thing is that we actually are kegging our beer now. We've been kegging it for, I don't know, about 6 months now for just the general public. If you wanted to, if you're having a party or you have a kegerator at home and you want to come in and pick up a keg, then anybody could do so. And now we're actually, we have an account with a brewery down the road. They've got about, it's a beer bar. You know, they have about 60, 70 taps, and two of them are ours. So we're very happy about that. They actually sell our stout, which is a sweet stout, and our Ruby Red, which I'd mentioned earlier. Very tasty beers. They're doing very well over there, and we're hoping to pick up a few more accounts around town, Northwest Arkansas. We're going to stay in the area. We're not expecting to go out of state lines or anything. One, because of our limited capacity that we have. So I would have been pushed to my bones if otherwise.
Has there been any talk? I've talked to some other brewers in North Carolina that have taken their product into bottles and cans. Anything of that nature? Have you guys been talking about that, or have you considered it at all?
Actually, yeah. Well, there's three breweries in Northwest Arkansas. So, I mean, in Arkansas itself, we're the only operating brewery in Northwest Arkansas. The other two are in Little Rock, which is, I don't know, maybe 200 miles away. And one's a brew pub, and one's an actual micro. Now, the micro can bottles and kegs, but our capacity right now is just—it's not possible. We don't have the space for a bottling line. Bottling lines are expensive, so.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the making of beer and coming up with your different designs, your different flavors. How do you solicit input from the public, or do you? How do you say, okay, well, I'm going to concentrate more on the IPA or the Ruby Red. We're going to do more of that because it's very popular. Take me into that process a little bit as the brewmeister about how you make decision of what's going to come on down the pike and why you might make a particular selection.
Sure. We had, when I came on, we had probably about five recipes that were on tap, and I tweaked them in order to what I thought was would taste better. And the public picked them up pretty well. And then now, you know, I'll come out from behind the scenes, and the brewer will meet and greet customers, or if someone asks to meet the brewer, you know, I get to know what their tastes are like. And we do Saturday tours, which is not only a great invitation for the public to come in and learn about beer, but it's a great opportunity for me to learn about what the public wants. And in that, there's a question and answer, and then I also have questions. So just because I give the tour doesn't mean I only have the answers. So I'll ask them, and I'll say, you know, what kind of beers do you like to drink? What are you looking for in your beer and the taste, and what would you actually like to see here on tap? And we get I get a good response. People will ask and or will state that, you know, we'd like to see an IPA. We love our IPAs, but we can't get one here. And I said, well, we'll get you one. So we worked on a recipe, made a batch, test batch. We liked it, and we went with it. And I did a full-scale one, and that's going up next week. Also,
that's your first one.
That's the very first IPA. Absolutely. That same way we came across the barley wine. We made a Christmas beer, and I knew I wanted to make a holiday beer, I should say. And we were sort of debating what to make. Should we make it spicy and how to go with it? And just during those tours, I was like, would you guys rather have? And I just sort of asked the guys who were, and they're the ones I guess that's sort of a target market there, because they're the ones that are interested enough to come in, do the tour, and drink my beer and be loyal customers. So I think there's value added to their response and behind it. So that I went with the barley wine instead of a spicy winter beer for the Christmas beer. Very tasty, too. So that's pretty much, you know, I get out there and I see what everybody wants. You do get sort of a response sometimes. This is very interesting. We make a blueberry wheat. Now, there's a biker convention that comes in normally around late September, early October. You know, big guys. You know, they're driving in on their hogs, and you know, they're huge 1300cc motorcycles, and you know, they're rough, pretty rough looking. And they'll come in and they'll say, "Give me a Miller Lite, Bud Light." And when I had the opportunity, I would go out there and I'd say, well, you know what? you need to taste this beer. And I wouldn't really tell them what it is. I was like, you know what, you'll like it. And some of them I could mend, some of them I wouldn't. But the most of who I could, most of everyone that I could convince to taste it, they absolutely loved it. And the interesting thing is, I couldn't tell them because they'd never drink it if I told them what the beer was. But it's a blueberry wheat. And if they knew they were drinking blueberries, you know, I'm not going to drink this sissy wheat beer. But they absolutely loved it. And I swear, we sold more blueberry wheat that weekend than Miller Lite and every, you know, all the other light beers that we had.
Well, very strong. May the bikers come more to the northwest sector here in Arkansas. Well, Chris Milam from the Hog House Brewing Company, I very much appreciate the time. Continued success to the brewery here and all your efforts and sort of expanding the horizons of those that enjoy beer, and hopefully with this podcast, those that come through Northwest Arkansas, specifically stop down here at the Hog House Brewing Company and taste some of your fine wares. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for listening, folks. And I hope you enjoyed the time with Chris. If you find yourself down in Fayetteville, I got to recommend the salmon with some Gouda cheese and some mushrooms on it, along with some of the fine brew. I believe I had the pale ale the night I was there. Anyhow, find yourself there. Find yourself some good beer. We'll look forward to seeing you next time around on BeerCast Brew. Remember to visit our site and check in with our friends over at All About Beer. Thanks.